Welcome to the Inner Revolution Show, where we take a journey within to uncover the inner resources deep within our soul to transform physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. It is through this higher sense of knowing we are able to design and live our lives with purpose, compassion, and for the collective consciousness. Are you ready to start your own inner revolution? Come with me. Welcome to the Inner Revolution Show, everyone. I am your host, Dr. Renee. Welcome back for yet another amazing show. And let me go ahead as I do at the beginning of every show and say thank you, thank you, thank you to all of you who continue to support this podcast week in and week out. If you have yet to do so, please go ahead and check us out. We are on iTunes and Spotify under The Inner Revolution with Dr. Renee. We would love to have you go ahead and download the episodes that you want to get caught up on and also leave a rating for us so that we know how we're doing. We are currently in 28 countries. I'm really, really excited about this. So keep showing your love, sending the podcast to people you know, relatives overseas, military, all those kinds of things could really benefit from hearing our voices each week. And so as you all know, here in the Inner Revolution, we go deep within our own inner landscape to examine those things socially, emotionally, psychologically, personally, physically. And today we get to look at it metaphysically. I am really excited about this show today. As I tell you, we are now in season three. And as we emerge into season three, I told you I had some tricks up my sleeves. And today we have some magic going on here in the Inner Revolution. But not only that, but we have one of the masters in the world right now, my own personal teacher. People ask me and they say, Dr. Renee, what motivated you to do the work that you're doing? How did you get to where you are today? And the predominant answer always goes to this person. So if you follow me on Instagram, he and I did a live not too long ago, so you may actually know who I'm talking about, but if you don't, you want to get to know him. His name is Quentin Stroud, aka Master Oracle, or just Q to me. And Q came into my life a couple years already. My God, we're getting old. And I was really looking to redesign, repurpose, redevelop, find my way as an entrepreneur. I had tried establishing a business a couple years ago and it was okay, but you know, I just kept falling flat. I didn't know how to put it all together. And I found Q. And Q was the one who helped me truly get to where I am today and putting all the pieces together. Not only is he a beautiful entrepreneurial coach with enlightened entrepreneurs, but he also has studied transpersonal studies and a lot of other beautiful things. But he is predominantly known today as a spiritual life wizard. What a cool name. So we're going to have him tell us a little bit about that. So let me go ahead and stop talking about my wonderful teacher and let's get him on the show. Q, are you with us?
Absolutely. Good evening.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
So tonight's going to be very different, listeners, because this is a dear friend of mine, my personal mentor, coach, and teacher. And when we get a chance to be together, which isn't often, it's just like girl talk. Gossip, 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 gab, gab, gab. So we're going to have, right, we're going to have a little bit of chit chat tonight. But first and foremost, hello. I'm so excited to have you here. You have no idea.
So let me tell you how amazingly honored I am, number one, to be on any of your platforms, because I know you have multiple reaches and multiple communities that you're connected with, but also just of all the work that you've been doing. I know that when we first connected, it was definitely this beautiful seed that Spirit had planted into your soul. And it started way before you even met me. It started, you know, when you were in university and doing all the work that you were doing there. But there's this beautiful seed that was there. And it was just that watering and that nurturing and that development that was taking place as we connected with it and did it all. This has, I've been blown away. About what you've been doing. So thank you so much for having me on the show.
Thank you. And you know that didn't come out with a little bit of ass kicking too, because I told my honey one day. Yeah. I told my honey one day, I said, listen, this is my wonderful teacher, my mentor. And he was able to see our live way back when. But it's so funny because he knows. And he was like, oh, God, I can only imagine. I said, yes, Q and I have had words. We have yelled at each other a time or two. But that's what the love of a mentoring relationship is like, right? So, you know, it was always professional. Absolutely. And now I know when I yell at my clients, they know what I want.
But you already know how it is, right?
So tell us a little bit, what are you doing today? What's new for you?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, I moved to California a couple of years back, actually going on my third year now here, and life is totally different here. It totally evolved. I think when you and I met, I was on the East Coast, mm-hmm. and always been in this place of the people who I was connected with and the people who I was working with. It was more on a personal level that they wanted to do some life coaching, some transformation, and basically heal their heart or heal those broken pieces, reclaim those fragments of their soul that they really wanted to hold on to again or reclaim. But I realized that as I moved over to the West Coast, it was more about shifting the people to do more and bigger work. Mm. And in doing the work that they were called to do, or doing the work that they desired to do, I was like, okay, everything needed to shift now. Mm-hmm. And so as a master oracle, I still do my work, obviously. I still do readings for clients the world over. But a lot of my clients are now shifting into, hey, listen, I want to do more of my soul work. Yeah. I want to do more of the work that I've been called to do, not just the job that I have. And so that's where I've been going. And so the Enlightened Entrepreneurs coaching community has been blossoming. And I'm constantly adding more people to the masterminds that we're doing, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, that's where we are now.
Amen. And I will tell you guys who are listening, that was the greatest gift that I ever could have given to myself, was investing in what I needed to learn to be an entrepreneur. And to be a spiritual entrepreneur is very, very different. You know, there are the business aspects, right? Things like that. And Q is a master at that as well. I mean, everything that a business needed, I didn't even think about it. I was like, oh my God, I need to do what? I need to have what? What's a webinar? What's Webinar Jam? What's this? What's that? You know, everything you need to think about. And I mean, we had homework every week. It was so detailed, so beautiful on how to build yourself. So if you're thinking about it, this is the man you want to reach out to. But I will tell you, those of you who are my friends in the spiritual community, it is different because we have to come from a different space. You know, selling in this business mm-hmm. isn't what selling is out when you're trying to sell a car. You know, it's you're touching somebody's soul. You're trying to get to somebody to heal and go in that space. And sometimes we feel guilty as spiritual people, and sometimes we're always asked to work for free too, which
baby. let me tell this quick story. This actually literally happened to me. I was in Maryland, and I had a guy who would contact me, and he would say, okay, I'm gonna do a session with you, but he said, but I want to know if you're legit. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I've been doing my thing now for, at the time, I guess it was like about 12, 13 years. And he was like, okay, well, and so when I finally got to the conversation of talking to him about my rate and what's all encompassed in it and so forth and so on, he goes, oh, I thought you were a minister. And I said, well, yeah, I'm a minister. I'm a master oracle. I speak, you know, from spirit, so forth and so on. And he goes, oh, I don't pay for people to do God's work.
Oh.
That was his exact words. He said, I don't pay for people to do God's work. I said, oh, okay. I said, well, you know, I'm a minister and I've been doing this for many, many years. And the way scripture even talks about it is that, you know, you don't carry a purse. You're worth your weight. You're worth your work. Mm-hmm. And so I said to him, I said, well, let me ask you a question. I said, what do you do? And he said, well, I work for this clinic. I said, okay, what do you do for the cleaning? And he said, well, I do X, Y, Z. I said, okay. I said, so you're doing pretty good, right? You're making some good money. He said, I do all right. I said, fantastic. I said, I'm a minister and I do God's work. Whose work are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
I said, you get paid for your work and you said you don't pay for God's work. Whose work are you doing then?
Yeah.
And he just cracked up laughing. Uh-huh. He said, I never thought about it that way. I was like, we're all doing God's work. We're all doing we're all a part of this amazing dharma that exists in this universe that's necessary. Each one of you are necessary to make this thing go right. And when you start thinking of yourself as, or even your business, as some kind of making a living, what they say, you got to make a living. You know, mm-hmm. I got to make a living. I got to pay my bills. When you started thinking about it from that perspective, you diminish the fullness of what it is that you're really called to do.
Yes.
So, I want you to know from this point on, we're all doing God's work. And just like the cashier at the grocery store that has to check you out, unless you go to the self-checkout now. But
and there's still somebody standing there supervising that, just in case, right? Yeah.
They gotta help out, right?
Yeah.
You gotta get your bread. Mm-hmm. So I want you guys to all know that we're all doing God's work, and you are worth your work. You are worth your work.
Yes.
And that's what I want to start this conversation off by saying.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. Because when I was in India, you know, one of the things that I really was overwhelmed by, but yet came to really love and appreciate, was that everybody had a role, everybody had a job. And if when you go shopping and you want to buy a pair of shoes like I did, not only was there one person asking you what kind of shoe you wanted, but then there was another one who went and got your shoe. And then the other one put the shoe down. The other one came and put your shoe on your foot. Then another one came and asked you about your shoe. And it was like, oh my God, I couldn't believe how catered I was. Because in the US, it's like, go get your shoe box and go try it on yourself.
Right, you turn that little stool.
Yeah. Check yourself out, sister. But at this point, it was so funny because I was like, wow. But in an economy like that, they appreciate trying to give everybody a job, everybody a purpose, everybody a role.
I love that.
And that's what I loved. It's, you know, and they're severely underpaid, but, you know, beside the point, they had a purpose and they had something to do and they felt purposeful. And that's what I loved. And I try to do that too here when people start to question, why do I pay for the work I'm doing? I said, well, you get paid for your job as well. And I wouldn't come into your work and ask you to work for free no matter what you were doing. So, yeah.
Right.
So I think spiritually, it's always been a struggle for people in this line of work to figure out how to find that platform to be confident in what we're doing. And I love what you just said. I think it has a lot to do when we realize that we are serving, you know, that's where I always come back to. I am serving God. I am helping people heal the things that they couldn't do on their own. And
let me say this too, because, and you know me, I mean, I went to seminary, I'm biblically trained, so you'll often hear me pull references from wisdom, wherever it comes from. But scripture says that the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. I'm going to give you this. Scripture says that the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. Now, catch this. Wicked does not mean, you know, evil, well, evil in the sense of, you know, going out there, blowing up houses and, you know, killing people and doing all this crazy stuff.
Right.
Wicked here simply means unwise, well, that's where we get the word Wicca. Wicca means wisdom, right? The study of the wise, the way of the wise. So wicked means unwise or uninitiated.
Oh.
So catch this. So the wealth of that person who has not been initiated yet, the wealth of that person who has not been released into their fullness yet, the wealth of the person who has not been unfolded yet is stored up for the righteous. Righteous simply means right thought and right action.
Yeah.
Right thinking and right acting. And so if a person who is righteous has discovered who they really are, like yourself, Dr. Renee, who discovered who she really is, discovered how she really wants to serve humanity, has decided to create something like Inner Revolution and the stuff that she's doing, has decided to put all this together. That's righteousness, right thinking and right action. And the wealth of those who have not yet unfolded is stored up for you.
Mm-hmm.
So the more you connect with them, the more you do these podcasts and the more you do your Instagram lives and the more you do this stuff, those uninitiated ones will see it and be like, you know what? I really need to connect with her. I want to see what I want to know what she knows. I want to know what she's doing. I want to get to where she is or whatever the conversation sounds like. And that wealth will be transferred to you cosmically you better get this. That wealth will be transferred to you cosmically because it's stored up for you.
Mm. I needed you today. Okay. See, this happened exactly in the right space, because even those of us who have, you know, I don't have a huge platform. You know, I have friends who have 50 and 75,000 and I'm just trekking along at 12 and a half. But I'm blessed. I am so blessed.
That's blessed, girl.
Every
yes.
person there. Because one of the things that I realized was that, and I've been criticized, you know, there's always the person that says, oh, you only care about followers. And actually, I don't even call my people followers. I call them family. You'll never hear me say the word follower. You know, they're all my family, and I am the only one who responds to those DMs. I mean, there is nobody working for me. Nobody makes my ads. Nobody does my stuff yet. Now, trust me, when I get somewhere, I would gladly hire someone to do these things. But I want people to know too that, you know, we're not successful all the time. Like, there are so many failures in a week. There are so many letdowns in a week of constantly trying to create and design these things, that spiritually, you know, people look at us and think we have it all together all the time. And that is the furthest thing from the truth. And you know, because you know, when I started with you, I was scared. I was like, oh God, Q's going to tell all my secrets today. But when I was really struggling, this is what I really hope you can give them today. When I was struggling to try to figure out how to come out into the world, right? Mm-hmm. Like how to come out and really show who I was. And that meant some things that I hadn't really shared with the world. Not everybody. Some people knew I was intuitive. Some people knew I was clairvoyant. Some people knew of my gifting, but not a lot did. And I was, I was worried. I was really worried about being rejected, being, you know, looked at like I was not okay anymore. Right.
And punished.
Oh God. Yeah. Yeah. That was huge. So can you talk to the followers who are really trying to figure out who they are, what their purpose is, like what are really the most significant things that they should be thinking about when trying to, you know, find that platform, find that purpose, and really put it together without hiding behind anything anymore?
Well, I'll start off by saying this, and you actually helped me to appreciate this, Dr. Renee. We're all where we are for a reason, right? And I know, like, you had a family, you had children, you had a mortgage to maintain, you had all these other things to, you know, that you had to do. And I didn't have those same restrictions. I have a son, but he's much older, and you know, it was a whole different, you know, situation. So what I had to realize, even in talking to you when we were doing our sessions and doing our thing, is that she's where she is because that's where she feels she needs to be, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I first of all want to take away any feeling of shame or not enoughness. Like, I'm just not doing enough. I'm not doing enough, or I'm not out there enough, or I'm not saying enough, or I'm not, you know, whatever. I want to, first of all, take away any shame around that. Do what you can right now. And as you do what you can right now, allow spirit to amplify and multiply what you are doing. You know, I have this thing, whenever I find a penny on the ground or something like that, if I see a penny laying on the ground, I'll pick it up and I'll say, with harm to none and help to many, multiply this shiny penny. Mm. With harm to none and help to many, multiply this shiny penny. It's just a penny.
Yeah.
It's just 1 cent, but I want that 1 cent to multiply and help many. So if you do one video a month and you want to get up to two, fine. That's your increase. Mm-hmm. So again, I want to remove any stigma or any shame around what I am doing right now. Now, if you ain't doing nothing, you know, we need to talk about that later. My grandmother, I'm from Alabama. And my grandmother used to always say, baby, do something. Don't just sit there.
Yes,
do something.
Something.
You know? And so if you're not doing anything just yet, do something, and know that your something is enough for spirit to use that and multiply it. Now, the second thing I want to say, so first of all, do something. Mm-hmm. Second of all, what you are doing, multiply that.
Yeah.
Now, I work with the number 19. That's my number. That's been my magic number for many, many years. And so whatever I do, I try to 19 exit.
Oh.
Right?
Okay.
So if I have one viewer next week, I want to get 19. I want to put in, be in front of 19 people or whatever my thing is. I always look at it, and I don't know if you ever knew that or not, but that's been my thing.
I did not.
My number 19 is my multiplier number. And so find your number and you can, whatever feels right to you, whatever feels good to you, but let that be your multiplier. What you do is you take that number and you multiply it, and it could be about dollars. I don't necessarily think it has to be. I think it needs to be about reach.
Yeah.
But find out how many people you want to reach this week and decide that you're going to send your video to 19 people or whatever your thing is, right? Send your video out. Make that conversation be known. Have a phone call with these people, whatever your thing is. What that's going to start to do for you is going to start to show the universe that you're willing to do the work,
yes,
that you're willing to put it out there. And if there is some fear, and we talked about this extensively, if there is some fear, you got to start to, you ready for this? Subtract.
Okay.
So let me say this. Some people don't need to follow you.
Oh, yeah.
Some people don't need to be your Facebook friend.
Right.
On your other stuff, you understand, on your business profile. They don't need to know what you're doing out there. Some people might not need to follow you, because what's going to end up happening, and you remember what we had to mix some people, Dr. Renee.
Oh, my God.
we had to block some people. And the thing I love about Facebook now, because Facebook went through that whole privacy scandal, remember?
With, yes.
You know, all that stuff. The reason, I'm so glad that happened, because on some of your stuff, even on your Instagram, you don't have to block them, but they don't have to see any of your stuff.
Yeah.
Quite honestly.
Right.
And you can set it up that way. So all I'm saying is that, first of all, you want to do something. Then you want to multiply what you do towards your multiplier. Then you want to subtract some people.
Yes.
Subtract some things. Take some stuff, pull it out. Prune. That's the word. Thank you, Spirit.
Yes.
Prune your tree. Prune your audience. Because if you prune them, then those that really want to connect with you, those that really want to share your stuff out there and send it to their girlfriends or send it to their constituents, whatever, your following and your family, as you call it, and I love that, will grow so, it'll be so much richer.
Yes.
What am I trying to say? So richer.
I love that you said this, because I struggled with this personally for a while. You know, it was like, and then, you know, and also people who don't align with you, you know, not just people who disagree with you. I love what I learned from you was the great power and ability of discerning. And I had always known what it was, but I was never comfortable with being able to discern things. And I remember people would fight up on your posts and have all sorts of conflict and battles, and you were just okay, you know, and you'd respond so cordially and back, and it was okay. And I'm all getting bothered by it, and you aren't even bothered by it. And I said, how do you do that? And I loved it, because now I don't go and hurry up and block people or get rid of people just because they have a different perspective or bring a nice ability to create conversation on your page.
There you go.
That, right? Like, they bring an interesting dilemma, but there is energy out there though that isn't for you. And I think people hold on to it sometimes for the fear of letting go of followers, letting go of numbers. But like you said, if we don't prune that away from us and let that go, then what is meant to come to us can't come, because the space is filled. And
exactly.
You have to let it go. So thank you for sharing that.
Well, and you used a very powerful word. How do I want to break it down? You used the word discern. Mm-hmm. And discernment is so important to a spiritual entrepreneur.
Yes.
And oftentimes, you know, we hear that in a church community, or we'll hear that in, you know, with intuitives or sensitives or whatever. But, you know, there's all different kind of spiritual entrepreneurs. But I want you to hear this. Discernment really means to judge well. Mm. I want you to hear this. It means to judge well. And when you are discerning something, when you see a post come across your, or a comment come across your little post or whatever, you post a video or something, or you post a message and somebody has something to say about it, discern well how you're going to use that in that situation. See, contrast is never an issue for God. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Hold on a second.
Uh-huh. I was going to go, oh, amen on that.
Right, well, let me say this. When you're operating in your God space, when you're doing the work of God, when you're doing the work of Spirit, Spirit ain't concerned with contrast. Yeah. Let me say this. If you remember the story in Scripture, there was a story in Job where Satan, right, the contrast, the opposer, walked into the throne room of God, walked into the Holy of Holies. and challenged God on God's throne. And God wasn't bothered. God said, what God really said was, he said, go and do your worst to Job. That was a challenge. The challenge was, if you take your hand off of Job, see won't he curse you to your face. Yeah. And God said, go and do your worst. So when you see this contrast show up in your experience, I don't care if it's from family members, and it probably will be. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it's from naysayers or whatever. Don't discern well that contrast and find out how you want to handle it, right? Because you could say, go and do your worst, because the people that gravitate towards that energy might not be your following anyway. You see, and so discern well, judge well how you're going to handle that. Is that contrast going to be used to bolster your point and your position, to bolster you as a enlightened entrepreneur? Or is that contrast going to be used to deflate you and push you down and make you feel like you're not good enough? Mm-hmm. And if you're truly operating in your God space, I say, go and do your worst. Look, you ain't bothering me none.
Yeah. I love it. And so, you know what? I had to do that at some times, you know, when you try to fit a space that I'm trying to fit professionally, which is bridging traditional psychology with spirituality, it's a bubbly space. I don't call it messy. I call it bubbly. It's very bubbly. It's effervescent somewhere in between, because we talk the same language. We all speak the same exact language. We're all talking about body and mind and alignment and health. And, you know, we just have different words and we're coming from different perspectives at times, but we all speak the same language. And it's like some people in the spiritual camp get so offended, and some people in traditional psychology get so offended. And it's like, guys, come on, let's just play together. Let's really recognize we all are serving the same purpose. And honestly, in collaboration, which I'm learning now versus trying to compete with one another, there is so mm-hmm. much more wealth. And that was one thing I learned with you as a student, was you are always out there aligning with people and supporting people. And in that, people are supporting you, and you're always having opportunity after opportunity. You know, if there's something missing in your life, it shows up because you're always in alignment with it seems like the right people at the right time. But that isn't luck. You know, that's mm-mm, not luck. No. Like, that is divine.
It's deliberate. It's divine. It's divine and deliberate. And let me say this to the listeners, that in your work, in your God work, in your spirit work, as a spiritual entrepreneur, you have to understand that we are all co-creators, yes. all working towards yes. the same outcome, all working towards inviting heaven on earth. And as we are doing that work, the more you share and the more you collaborate and the more you invite and welcome in, the more you're going to be welcomed in, mm-hmm. into the communities, into the circles, into the spaces. Right now, as I'm talking to you all, I'm sitting outside of a spiritual living center here in Encinitas, California. I'm about to go in and sit at the feet of Marianne Williamson, who's running for president.
Love it.
And so I'm literally going to be like, you know, three rows away from the front to sit and hear from and hopefully meet Marianne Williamson. I'm saying that to say is I want to welcome her into my space as I feel welcomed into hers.
Yeah.
You see? And scripture says it this way, that your gift, whatever your gifts are, if you have the gift of healing, if you have the gift of insight and intuition, if you have the gift of, you know, music or art or whatever your thing is as a spiritual entrepreneur, your gift will make room for you and bring you before great men. That's how scripture says it. Mm-hmm. Now, men metaphysically means minds. Right. Don't think about gender, right? So your gift will make room for you and bring you before great minds. So the more you lean on your gift, the more you unfold your gift, the more you unpack your gift and expound upon that, it will make room for you in spaces like maybe the future president of the country. I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever, right? It'll make room for you and bring you before great minds. And this is where you want to position yourself. So I think that if we see the full picture here, right, where you're doing something toward your gifting, toward your ultimate reality as a spiritual entrepreneur, you're multiplying that which you do in the world. You're then subtracting those that are no longer serving you, and you're using discernment, as we just said it, to judge well the contrast that may show up and will show up in your experience. And then lastly, you lean into your gift every opportunity you can. I was at Books-A-Million, bookstore. I was at Books-A-Million, and I was just in the spiritual section. You just reading books. You see what book I want to buy. And this lady asked me, she was, she looked Native American. I'm assuming she was Native American. She says, oh, is that a good book? And I said, well, it looks like it's a really good book. I haven't read it yet, but based on what I'm seeing, it looks like some good stuff is in here. Mm-hmm. And immediately she starts sharing her story. Aww. We're studying in Books-A-Million. And she's telling me her story about how her husband passed away. Mm-hmm. And as I was talking to her, she was sharing her story, I'm looking at her body. And from her waist down, her body looked dark. And that's the only way I could describe it. It looked cloudy and dark. Mm-hmm. And I said, I don't know what this means, but as I'm sitting here looking at you, your top half looks glowing, you're glowing, you're beautiful, you're bright, but your bottom half from your waist down, particularly around your legs, is dark. And it's almost like you're not able to stand right. I don't know what this is. And she says, well, I've been having a lot of leg trouble. And I said, well, when did this start? She said, well, it started after my husband passed away. And I said, tell me, how did he die? She said, he drowned. Mm-hmm. I said, oh, wow. And I said, but how did he drown? What happened? He was out fishing. And somehow the boat shifted or whatever. His legs slid up under like the fisher, like the boat seating thingies. His legs slid up under there. He broke both of his legs and fell in the water.
Oh.
And he passed away like that. Oh. And since her husband died, and they had been married for like 20 some odd years, since her husband died, she has started having leg trouble because he broke both of his legs.
Mm-hmm.
And after we had this conversation, I hugged her, and her legs, like the light kind of shifted down and started spreading down her legs. Mm-hmm. And I told her, I said, the light is spreading down your legs now. You're going to be fine.
Yes.
And she started crying. I'm getting teary-eyed even as I'm telling it. She started crying, and that was the last time I saw her. I don't know who she was. I can't remember her name to the day.
Yeah.
But my point is lean into your gift.
Yes.
Because you never know who is being sent to you for a word or for a message or for some insight or revelation or whatever. And it's your opportunity to show the world who you are.
Yes.
And so the more you lean into your gift, the more you're going to see your gift make room for you.
Mm.
And this is such a beautiful way of the universe doing it, because it'll send these little moments, these little opportunities.
Yes.
And you have an opportunity to embrace it or shy away from it. You get to choose. But I guarantee you this, if you shy away from it, the universe take note.
Yes, it does. And it'll come and knock you upside your head with it another time like it did me. And it's not going to feel so good, or it'll get quiet, right? And you'll be like, where to go? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. And, you know, I was thinking too, when you were talking about the woman, that many times we are so afraid to lean into that gift. It is not arrogance. It is not being pompous. It is not being narcissistic. It's knowing what you're here for. Your dharma is your path. It is why you are here, right? And that was my greatest lesson from Q, was really recognizing that it doesn't always get affiliated to a job, but those of us who are spiritual entrepreneurs, we often are blessed with being able to have profession, right? With passion. Mm-hmm. But some people aren't, and that's okay. But I was always trying to, you know, be humble and things like that, which I am. And grace is a big thing for me. And there are ways to still lean into your gift gracefully and through humility and a lot of things, but don't miss out on these opportunities. You know, you can't be asking to be paid in every moment. Like, Q's not going to be like, hey, you know what? I do accept donations in this moment, dear lady, you know, you can give me a little bit. Like, that's not appropriate, people. We have to draw the line somewhere. But no, I love that you're sharing these kinds of things with us today.
Well, and also I think you use that word gracefully, and that actually warmed my heart when you said it. Because let me say this. Grace really means covering. Right? It means covering. I think the Greek word is kalepto, which means to cover or to conceal. Right? And so when scripture says that his grace is sufficient, right? That grace abounds. Mm-hmm. Grace really means that you're covered. So when you are sharing your stories, and when you're doing your YouTube videos, or you're putting your messages out there on your lives or whatever it is you're doing, when you're doing it, know that you're doing it in grace, that you're covered. You're covered. And what's so awesome about it is that with that covering, with that remember when you was a kid, or you might have had children. I know you have some children, Dr. Renee, and they might have had like a little blankie, a little blankie.
Oh, I still have.
And
mine.
That blankie, that's your blankie, right? I had a little bear. I have a little bear, and your blankie or your bear or whatever, that's your little safety thing. It makes you feel covered. It makes you feel safe. I want each of us as spiritual entrepreneurs to know that as we go out and share our stories and share our testimonies and share our vision for humanity or whatever it is that we're doing, that you're covered and grace abounds, especially over those that are doing the work of spirit. Because your work is a necessary work. All of our work is required because we got to, like I said, get the bread, you know, or get our soup. But we're doing a necessary work towards the unfoldment of mankind, the evolution of a species.
Yes.
And so when you're doing your work, those of you who are really tapped in and tuned in to what Inner Revolution is all about, those that are really doing this work, when you hire a coach, or when you take advantage of a program or workshop or whatever, a book or whatever it is that you're doing, you're telling the universe that I want to multiply and amplify that which I am doing, and that I want that grace to abound even as I step into new realms. When Dr. Renee, and I'm going to tell you a little bit of your story, when Dr. Renee first started doing her stuff, and I said, why don't you just do XYZ? Why don't you just do a video? Why don't you just do a live?
Oh,
oh no, Q. Oh, no, you don't understand. You know what? I don't understand because I'm not in it. And I said this to her. I said, I don't work in the professional psychology, you know, community like that or whatever. But what I do understand is grace. And what I do understand is that a covering exists over you, and that if you were to do something, you're covered. But just know that you're covered as you venture more into your gifting and venture more into your work. And this, I think, makes us feel safer to take that next step with wisdom. Right? With wisdom, take that next step. And as you take those steps, what is it saying? Oh, when you take one step, God takes two.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
If God be before you, who can be against you? So I'm thinking and I'm knowing that all of those that are under this teaching, under this work with Inner Revolution and all that she is, Dr. Renee is doing, those of you that are doing this, take the next step. Do the next program, do the next course, do the next whatever it is that you're going to be doing next with this, and know that the universe has taken two more for you.
Yes.
And I think that this is always going to move us forward towards our evolution, and I'm so happy to be a part of it.
Oh, I'm so honored to have you here. And I remember, you know, I didn't have a lot of money back when you and I started. I was in a separation. I was panicked about my finances. You know, I was trying to figure out how to be on my own with two little ones and things like that. And it was scary for me. And yet still made the investment, and it was the greatest thing I ever did. And every time I've ever turned around and thought that money wasn't coming, money has always showed up in some graceful, glorious blessing. And that is because of what Q just said, because we are covered in this work that we are doing. How could anything be taken from us in any way that was unnatural? You know, we can't guarantee things won't change or shift. It's meant to, over time, to evolve, to transcend, right? As we talk about here in the Inner Revolution. So these are such amazing tips. And I know you have an important get together to get to and things like that.
I'm about to go in now.
Yes.
I want to, on that note, what you just said, I want to make one last point. For those of you who are already doing the work. Okay, thank you, Spirit. I'm feeling okay to say this. For those of you who are already doing the work and you have clients and you have people that you're helping and working with or whatever, don't be afraid to move towards the increase.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be afraid to raise your rate. Don't be afraid to ask the universe for more. You know, what I've decided, especially as we go into 2020, 2020 is perfect vision actualized.
Mm-hmm.
And as we go into 2020, asking for the increase in the universe and in the things that you're doing and in the work that you're putting out there is going to be always greeted with a yes.
Mm, I love it.
I'm telling you what I'm seeing right now, and I'm tapping into it right now intuitively, that all is always going to be greeted with the yes. And you, in your wisdom and in your own discernment, you're going to determine for your clientele and who you're serving how that's going to flow out. But just know that by asking for the increase and presenting the increase to the people that you really want to serve, your true clientele, your true fans, right?
Yes.
I think there's a business statement that said all you need is 1,000 true fans to live an amazing life for the rest of your life.
Yes.
Just 1,000. You don't need millions of followers and blah, blah, blah. You just need just a, Dr. Renee says she got 12,000 people that are in her family. All she needs is 1,000 true fans.
Yes.
That really see what she's trying to do in this world. And those people, even after, let me tell you something. Dr. Renee and I haven't worked together on a, you know, like client, you know, whatever situation for years or for a while now.
Yeah.
But guess what? From that true relationship that we've developed, I've gotten so many connections and so many more relationships that have been developed, so many more opportunities like this podcast that we're doing right now. All of that works.
Yes.
And so be okay with the increase. If you know you need more and you need to ask more of the universe, trust me, it can take it.
Yes, it can.
If you gotta ask, more of the universe, trust me, it can take it.
Yes, it can.
And believe me, you're going to get greeted with a yes from the universe every single time.
Oh, I love it. I love it, Q. Thank you so much for being here. Can you let everybody in the Inner Revolution know how to reach out and find you?
Absolutely. So first of all, you can go to spiritualriches.org, spiritualriches.org, and that's my website. You can check that out there. You can also find me on Facebook under Quentin Stroud Reese. I'm sure I'm going to be on some of Dr. Renee's stuff or whatever,
yes,
as she tags me in. So you can follow me on Instagram at The Master Oracle on Instagram as well. So please, please, please connect. And I would love to greet you with love.
And we will have all of Q's contact information right on the radio page. Those of you who are on Facebook can go ahead and comment on the page as well. So please go ahead and leave us a comment, and Q will be able to see that and he can respond to you directly as well. So Q, thank you. We love you to pieces. And I want to ask you now, can you come back in December and do like a year and review 2020 kind of projection for us.
Oh, that would be brilliant.
Yay.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Absolutely. I love you.
I love you too. And I'll tell Marianne Williams because she got to be on your show.
Yes. Tell her I said, hey, and I'm always, always looking for some consulting work. You know,
yes,
I got to get it approved through the university, but you know what? I'm sure they're going to say yes to the president. You know, I really do.
Yes, yeah. To the president. Come on.
Yes, I love it.
Oh, I love you so much. I love all of you. And there ain't nothing you can do about it. Believe me, people have tried.
I love you.
Take care now. Bye-bye.
Everyone, thank you for being here today for yet another amazing show here in the Inner Revolution. That was my mentor, my teacher, my guide for several years, Quentin Stroud, aka the Master Oracle. And as we said, we have all of his contact information here on the radio page. He is a beautiful soul. You want to go ahead and touch base. Worst case scenario, if you're worried about reaching out and getting to know new people, he is the one that you shouldn't worry about. Get a reading from that man. I'm telling you, your life will change. This is Dr. Renee for the Inner Revolution. Again, check us out on Spotify and iTunes, and we will be back next week with another amazing show. Thank you for listening to the Inner Revolution Radio Show. If you haven't already done so, check us out on iTunes, and also check out our website at www.transcendentheart.com. You can also follow me on Instagram at Dr. Renee One Life. Have yourself an amazing week.